Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk, featuring Surreal Joel Quinn on this 2nd of January 2016, as we discuss the world of sports and pop culture. Happy New Year to everybody out there. Hope you have enjoyed the holiday season as it came to an end yesterday with the coming of a new year. Still a couple of bowl games to be decided with college football. Of course, national championship next Monday the 11th, Alabama, Clemson. Lot to do on this busy program of this football weekend, the last weekend of the NFL season, regular season. That is a week 17. We'll have NFL picks. We'll go over some of the playoff scenarios. See what your favorite teams has to happen for your favorite team to get in the playoffs, if they are in a position to get in the playoffs. And much, much more. I have a lot to do. As always, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me on at Instagram at William Joel Quinn, or go to follow me on Twitter at William Joel. Call number 347-215-6180. And we begin with the bowl games. Listen, I know certain things, these games and how conferences perform can run in cycles. I mean, there are years that you will get some classics, games that, you know, you'll be talking about for the next 5-10 years. Other years, you'll get what's transpired. Yesterday evening, and even with the playoff games, games that are basically over at halftime. And, you know, if you're the NCAA, okay, if you're college football, you don't want to overreact to a year's worth, one bad batch of games. But I'm telling you, and I've been saying this for years, if you're going to do something, don't do it half. No, don't do it half-ass. Go all the way. If you're going to get a 14 playoff system, get a 16. You know, get 16 teams. Enough already with these meaningless bowl games that nobody cares about. Enough already with having to wait with teams who clearly are not motivated in certain cases to play and go out there and just get destroyed or just go through the motions. Have a 16 team playoff, have it over the course of, you know, 4 weeks, which you could do, and go from there. You know, have 12 more teams be in the mix with this thing. If you can do 4, you can do 16. You know, regular season ends, what was it, December 5th? Yeah, December 5th. You can't tell me you can't have a Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final 4, that type of deal over the course of 4 weeks. And you can't tell me that it can't be done. Otherwise, there are going to be years like this where you get a bunch of games that just, I mean, the quality of play. I mean, those games yesterday, those were the worst set of bowl games the New Year's, just look at the New Year's Six games, okay? Half those games were over by halftime. I mean, Ohio State toyed with Notre Dame. That game, you know, that game was 28-14. But nobody, you never thought Ohio State was going to ever lose that game. I could have called the Houston-Florida State game. As a Florida State fan, I knew Florida State wasn't going to win that game. They were not motivated to play in that game. They had a championship like 2 years ago, won a championship 2 years ago, played in a playoff game last year in the Rose Bowl. You think they care about the Peach Bowl? I mean, give me a break. So I could have told you that Florida State was going to lose that game. Then you had the playoff games. It got to a point where, in the Michigan State Alabama game, you knew Michigan State had no chance. We're not going to be able to move the ball in that game. I mean, Clemson, Oklahoma, good first half, but like the rest of the Big 12, Oklahoma doesn't play any defense, and Clemson exposed that. That happens. That game I can live with, because that happens. I mean, Clemson's a very good team. We know Oklahoma, how they can get dicey in some of these bowl games. But I'm not going to knock Oklahoma. Yeah, I'm not going to say they didn't show up. It was 17-16. They were up by 1 point at halftime. So that I can live with that game. Clemson just had a big-time second half. But the New Year's Day games, I mean, even beyond the New Year's Six games, I mean, Michigan, look what Michigan did to Florida. Look what Ole Miss did to Oklahoma State. Stanford, Iowa, it was just one blowout after another. Yesterday might have been one of the single worst days of bowl games I've ever seen on New Year's Day. That had to be the worst set of bowl games I've seen on New Year's Day. It was unwatchable. It was unwatchable for the most part. Again, the most competitive game was Notre Dame, Ohio State. And I'm telling you, Ohio State toyed with Notre Dame. Notre Dame didn't have a chance in that game. Ohio State put, 44? They could have scored 60 if they wanted to. They had their foot, they kept their foot on the gas. They could have scored 60 on Notre Dame. So, again, I mean, it is not complicated. You could do 3 weeks playoffs, have a national championship. You want to play the national championship? You want to give a little break for the national championship? Fine. Matter of fact, I'm thinking about, you can have the first round, Sweet 16, would have been December 12th. Second round, Elite Eight, would have been December 19th. Third round, Final Four, would have been the day after Christmas, the 26th. You could have a championship game, today. Today you could have a championship. Or you know what? If you don't want to put a championship on a weekend, put it on Monday night. You're not competing against the NFL. Put it on the Monday night. January 4th. What's wrong with that? And let the college football season end at that point. January, what's wrong with the college football season ended on January 4th or 5th? Well, again, the argument would be, well, what about the Heisman Bowl or the Sunshine or these meaningless bowls that, again, nobody cares about? Nobody cares about these games, the Alamo Bowl today. Yeah, who cares about Penn State? And I forgot who they are. I don't even know who they're playing. I think they're playing an SEC team. No one cares. I got to look at who's Penn State. The Tax Layer Bowl, Penn State and Georgia. A bad Georgia team this year at that. No one cares about that bowl. The Liberty Bowl. You can't follow up the New Year's Six with some meaningless bowls that nobody cares about. No one cares about those bowls, those games. They don't. And again, the football and the bowl season. You know the best bowl game I saw all season? I mean, the bowl season? USC Wisconsin, the Holiday Bowl. Not even the Holiday Bowl. I'm sorry, the Baylor. It was USC Wisconsin was the Holiday Bowl. I'm sorry, my apologies. It was the Holiday Bowl. That was the best. And I would say Texas A&M, NC State was pretty good as well. Those are the best Super Bowl games I saw. But again, if you're the NCAA, again, I know the Raiders took a hit with the playoff games. I don't know, nothing wrong with putting the playoff games. Again, you could have put the playoff games on Saturday. I don't know why they didn't want to put them on Saturday. I don't know why they couldn't put them on Saturday the second. Like, I understand they don't want them on. They didn't want the playoff games to be on Friday. Anticipate because Friday is the worst TV night of the week. Most people are out Friday, but Saturday, New Year's Eve is a rough night. I mean, it's a rough night, especially if you're going. Most people are going to be going out or entertaining company. So it was a rough night, but it's not going. I don't think that this is going to be a permanent move to have it on New Year's Eve. I think it's the schedule calendar itself. It was a scheduling quirk, and I think they'll go back to probably a Saturday schedule. I don't think they're doing New Year's Eve games moving forward. But besides that, I mean, put that aside. Get rid of these meaningless bowl games. Get rid of these bowl games that nobody cares about. Please. And get a real legitimate playoff. I mean, four teams is nice. Put 16 teams in there. That would create more interest, even that much more interest in the regular season. 347-215-6180 is a call number. When we return, we will go through the playoff scenarios. A lot to get to on this edition, this first edition of 1211 Sports Talk, featuring Cyril Gerald Quinn of 2016. We'll be right back. Also, in regards to the bowl games, how many players between the time when the season ended, regular season ended, and the bowl games, how many players do we see get suspended for team rules, curfew? I mean, you see Boykin out of TCU, Virginia Tech got a couple players sent home, Clemson got a couple players sent home. I mean, that idle time cannot help. When you, as a college kid, student athlete, has been accustomed to a structure of playing games, all of a sudden you have 3 or 4 weeks, you have about close to a month off, and, classes are, done because, it's at the end of the semester, Christmas break. I mean, kids are going to get in trouble. It happens every year around this time. Especially in college football, where guys get sent home, curfew, do something stupid. team rules, some of the stuff we don't hear about. Again, I think that is less likely if you have a system, or if you have a playoff system where, hey, we're playing next week. Now, guy's going to be in his playbook, not in the streets. And I'll say this last thing about it. Every team does not have, like, you know, the NCAA turns this into, like, basically a participation award. Every you don't have to have a bunch of, you don't have to have a bunch of teams in bowl games. It should be a privilege to get to a bowl game. When you have 500 teams, you have teams below 500 in bowl, that are bowl eligible. I think how many bowl games it is, like 83 bowl games. Isn't that, I mean, are you kidding me? 83 bowl games. I might be even a little high. I don't think it was even 83. He was like, that somewhere in the 40s was an 83 bowl games. The point is, everybody doesn't have to be like, you don't have to have that many teams. Listen, you create a system where it's 16 teams get to playoffs and everybody else stay home. You watch the level of competition in the regular season and the level of play in the regular season. And how, like, I'll tell you right now, it will bet, like, the college football regular season will be unmatched. No other regular season, not the NFL, nobody else, no NFL, baseball, nobody will come close to it. If it was like, these 16 teams are going to a bowl game or going to the playoffs, and that's it. Can you imagine that? 347-215-6180 is the call number on this latest edition of 1211 Sports Talk Future with Sunil Joe Gwynn. Week 17 in the NFL. Now, we're not going to go through every single playoff scenario because we'd be here all day and all night. So we'll just go through the ones that your team, whoever you root for, can control. We'll go through the ones that teams that control their own destiny. Beginning with the AFC, simple, if New England wins or ties or Denver loses, New England will have home field throughout. Now, New England's going to sit a few people and are not going to play. I don't think you'll see Edelman, Hightower, Vollmer, guys like that. Amola. I'm completely just blanked on his name. But he might not play. Amendola. That's what I'm saying. Amendola. You might actually know. So I think maybe they're going to try to have their kicker too. They're going to try to arrest people and still go out there. And, you know, you'll see Brady, Gronkowski, and still go out there and try to win the game. But they're going to arrest another people as they will host Miami. And again, listen, you should be able to beat Miami without Brady. And that's how bad Miami is right now. So I expect New England to handle business in that, to get business in that game and clinch home field throughout. Cincinnati can only clinch a first round bye. They've already, of course, clinched with what happened in Pittsburgh. They've already clinched the division. That division in a playoff berth. They can only clinch a first round bye. Denver is very interesting. Denver could be a number one seed if things break right. If things break wrong, they could also be a number six seed. More than likely, they're probably going to be the number two. They kind of locked themselves up, but that one of the Cincinnati to get the head-to-head as far as that goes against Cincinnati. It's simple for Denver. In order to get the first round bye, division. So a win, then we're close to the first round bye, end of the division. The Jets is a win, and they're winning, they're in, you know, win or Pittsburgh loss, they're in. Pittsburgh wins, if they need to win, they also need to have the Jets lose. Kansas City is already in. Kansas City can coast the division title with a win and a Denver loss. Houston can coast the division with a win. And then, and Indianapolis needs about a million one things to happen for them to get in the playoffs. It will be one of the most unbelievable things that you will ever see in terms of tiebreakers and miracles in order for Houston to get the playoffs. So basically, for the most part, Houston's going to win that division unless there's something just insane happens. As far as the NFC goes, Carolina wins. They're going to get the number one seed, or as a loss, or a tie, or both teams tie. Carolina is number one seed. Arizona's clinching number two seed. They need Carolina to lose, and they need a win and a Carolina loss to get the number one seed. Green Bay, if they win or tie, they clinch the division, and we'll have a number three seed. Minnesota, if they win, and we'll clinch the division, we're a number three seed. Depending on what happens to Seattle, if they lose, they're going to be a 5 or 6 seed. Seattle could either be a 5 or a 6 seed. They can go no higher than a 5 or 6 seed. Green Bay, again, could be, who knows, could be a 3. Green Bay could be anywhere from a 3 to 3. Green Bay could be a 3 or a 5. I don't think Green Bay can fall to a 6 if they beat Seattle. So I don't think Green Bay can fall to a 6. Of course, you know, the Redskins are locked into the 4 spot, could have the chance to either meet Green Bay, Minnesota, or Seattle. They could play any one of those three teams, and they would be hosting that game, no matter, despite the record, despite having the worst record of all those teams. So there you go with that. In terms of NFC playoff scenarios, again, you can't go through every possible scenario. You try to do the ones that teams control, have the most control over. There's certainly a number of tiebreakers, conference record, head-to-head, common opponents, if it gets to that in certain spots. More times than not, it doesn't get to that. So I expect these to be pretty much clear-cut as we head down the stretch of the as we head to the Week 17 last weekend of the regular season and into the playoffs in the league with no contract is guaranteed. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll talk about the Redskins. Certainly got to get caught up on what transpired in Philadelphia last Saturday. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that and much, much more in this latest edition of 12 of the Sports Talk featuring Samuel Gerald Quinn. We'll be right back. Is the call number on this latest edition of 12/11 Sports Talk featuring Sue Joe Quinn. That was not me, by the way. I know there's some audience out there saying, "Was he beatboxing?" No. I wish I could. I would love to take credit for that, but no, that was not me. Had a couple of new sounds for 2016. So That, yeah, that was not me. I would love state credit for that. Of course, the Redskins go into this weekend in the position that you hoped as a Redskins fan that they would be in this time last weekend, and that is basically having a bye week. As the game means nothing, it's clinching division, are in a position where they can and will rest people. Trent Williams, Quentin Dunbar, Matt Jones, Sean Golston will probably not play. I know Golston, Jones, and Matt Jones and Dunbar have been ruled out. Trent Williams probably won't play. I wouldn't play Trent. I mean, if they're smart, they shouldn't play Trent Williams. I think you'll see Cousins. I think Cousins will play a half, maybe three quarters, but at least a half. He's going to crack some 4,000 yards. Probably get him some work before next week's game. But I don't think Cousins will play. Cousins will play the entire game. And it is the ideal position as a get a Redskins that you want to be in. I mean, no team. I mean, even Carolina is going to have to wait out. Even Carolina can't rest their players like that because, Arizona's right on their heels, and North Carolina, you want home field. Like, you can't. Like, I wouldn't give Carolina much of any chance to go out Arizona and beat Arizona in Arizona. So Carolina's going to, even despite their guardy record, going to play their players. Arizona certainly, Arizona probably might say, hey, we feel confident anywhere. We got the better team. But I expect them to, for the most part, play their players, despite it being week 17. So the Redskins are in a great position, a position that you want them to be in, having clinched the division and having to basically have a week off before next week's wild card game. I don't know. I'm guessing, especially with Green Bay being in it, Green Bay and Seattle being in it, I'm guessing the Redskins probably will be on Saturday. I'm guessing that they will probably be on Saturday. I could see Green Bay being the Sunday afternoon game. Seattle might put Seattle depending on Saturday night. A lot of stuff. The AFC is going to determine a lot of stuff with the wild card. Especially, if Denver's a wild card, you might see Denver Saturday night. I can see the Redskins having a big game, Denver being Saturday night, Seattle or Green Bay being Sunday afternoon. But I'm guessing, put a gun to my head right now, I'm guessing the Redskins will be in that Saturday afternoon window for the wild card, hosting the wild card. Again, still too much to be decided in order to make that confirmation, but just a guess, because considering how many big teams you have in the playoffs, how many powerhouse teams that you have in the playoffs that are still, that are going to that demand that kind of draw, as far as, like I said, Green Bay, Seattle. If Pittsburgh gets in, I would say that Pittsburgh could probably be in that Saturday night window if they get in. I could easily see that. Redskins during the day, Pittsburgh Saturday night window, and Green Bay, Seattle. In fact, if that's the matchup, Green Bay, Seattle will be Sunday afternoon. If that is indeed the matchup, I keep saying Green Bay, Seattle, because Seattle, they're going to play each other, which is certainly not, it's possibly not happening. as much as it does have the possibility of happening. But if it, indeed, if it is Green Bay and Seattle playing, that will be the Sunday. You can take it to the bank. That will be the Sunday 4:25, 4 o'clock game, without question. I think that, you know, the NFL wants Green Bay in that window anyway, because, you know, saying Rodgers and Green Bay, it's still a major draw in terms of, you know, fans all across the country. And again, if you're the Redskins, listen, you don't have to apologize. If you're a Redskins fan, or fan of the, I keep saying, I'm a fan of the Washington football team, it's still trying not to say that word, but, you know, all habits are hard to break, tough to break. You don't have to apologize for winning the AFC East, because the bottom line is the team over the course of the year got better. You had a quarterback who's, you know, developed before our eyes, and the team has played well over the last month. And again, we've seen teams go in the playoffs with 7-9 records, 8-8 records. You know, how bad is the AFC South this year? AFC South is as bad as the AFC East is. The AFC South is horrible this year. It's a joke. So you're a fan of Washington. You don't have to apologize for winning a division. Matter of fact, you know, moving forward, Washington is probably, from an organizational stability standpoint, probably in the best shape of any of these teams. I mean, think about it. Philadelphia's a mess. The Giants seem to be in transition. They got a new coach, new general manager. And the Cowboys are, you know, the Cowboys. I mean, it's Jerry's world. So that isn't even explaining whatsoever. Let's get that, you know, they're in good shape moving forward. It's hard, you know, you don't see them go crazy with the spending. You're going to have to pay Kirk Cousins. He's earned his contract. You're going to have to give him a contract. And again, you don't have to give him Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees type money. You don't have to give him that type of contract. But you're going to have to pay him like a market value starting NFL quarterback. And he's proven that he can be a quarterback. He can take a team to the playoffs. And he did. And again, Washington, you know, as bad as that division has been, you know, we've seen this more in cycles with these divisions. I remember a couple of years ago, people were laughing at the NFC West because it was, you know, basically Seattle, even before Seattle San Francisco both got good, it was, you know, Seattle had a, you know, Seattle had an aging, you know, Matt Hasselbeck, an aging Matt Hasselbeck, before Russell Wilson came along. San Francisco wasn't a factor. Rams, you know, inconsistent. And Arizona wasn't a factor. And, you know, our division was a joke. And now looking at the division, you know, we have two playoff teams. And listen, San Francisco, despite their record, they had a couple people tough this year. The Rams, I still can't figure it out. I can't figure it out. Jeff Fisher, you know, it's Jeff Fisher. And the fact that Jeff Fisher still has a job, but I can't figure out what's their problem. But they, you know, Rams, we all know on a good day, Rams are capable of beating, you know, a number of teams there as well on a good day when they have their game. So in all fairness, Washington, I'm not worried about the perception of the division. I'm not worried about the one thing that you can say, you know, Washington fans can say is we didn't take the back door. You know, we didn't need help. They earned their way into the playoffs. They're playing well going into the playoffs. outside of Arizona, who really scared you? Like, who really scares you? You're a fan of Washington. Who scares you outside of Arizona in the NFC playoffs? Out again. I put the emphasis on outside of Arizona. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of Trello and Swiss Talk featuring Serena Joe Quinn. When we return, we will have NFL picks for week 17. We'll be right back. Four 7215 6180 is your call number on this first edition of Trollo Sports Talk featuring Surreal Gerald Quinn. There could be a number of openings in the NFL come Black Monday. Varsity, you know, Andy Reid's laughing right now. Varsity, Chip Kelly let go earlier this week. You could have as many as 7 jobs open. You're definitely going to have 5. I mean, Philly's open. Cleveland's going to be open. Miami's going to be open. The Giants are going to be open. And Indianapolis. With New Orleans, Detroit, and St. Louis as possibles. All 3 of those jobs are could possibly open. Though I do expect, I don't see any reason why St. Louis, I don't think that St. Louis is getting rid of Jeff Fisher. See any indication that they're going to get rid of Jeff Fisher. Detroit, I think you have to get rid of Caldwell. I mean, I don't see how you keep Caldwell, but you haven't heard too much about that. It's kept quiet. And who knows what happens with New Orleans. I mean, New Orleans might just say, you know, Benson might just say, hey, it's been a great run, but now it's time to totally just, you know, start over, rebuild it, you know, tear it apart and start over again. You know, get rid of Sean Payton. Or see if you can trade Sean Payton. Why not? Doc Rivers got traded in the NBA a couple of years ago. So, and our NFL coaches are more valuable than NBA coaches, to be honest with you. They're definitely going to try to move Drew Brees. Because what they'll do is they'll say, hey, you negotiate your contract. Drew Brees will tell them where to go. And then they'll move, and then they will move him. Now, they might, instead of giving, you know, 80 cents on the dollar, they might only get 50 cents on the dollar, despite the fact of how badly these teams, how many teams need quarterbacks. Brees has a major number, you know, I think like a $20 million cap number, and it could even be higher next year. He's going to have minimum $20 million number as far as the cap goes. Again, if you're the Saints, hey, you know, if you can get, I would ask for a first round pick because, again, I think there'll be at least one team that is so desperate for a quarterback you can get a first round pick for them. But now is the time to move them. Because despite the fact that the Saints were awful this year, Brees still playing played relatively well. He's still had 31 touchdown passes, and he had the outside chance of getting 5,000 yards. At 4,500 yards this year. Still completes, 67% of his passes. Brees is still an elite quarterback. He's on a horrible team and an organization that has missed on free agents and draft picks in the last 3 to 4 years. Again, they had a great run. You know, Peyton, you know, 10 years with Peyton, basically Peyton and Brees for like 10 years, won a Super Bowl, a perennial playoff team. So, you know, if the run is over, it's over. But it is for sure, it is for certain, you know, it is time for them to do something drastic. I don't think if you're New Orleans that you can stand pat, especially in that division. I mean, you're clearly in that division with Carolina. Tampa Bay is coming. They're coming fast. I know they struggled past them today, but listen, the Lovey fixes that defense. You watch Tampa Bay next year. They'll do exactly what Minnesota's doing this year. So they'll be doing it with their offense versus being defensive, being led by their defense. Getting back to the Chip Kelly firing. Listen, I give Lloyd credit, and you can also take Shaw. You can give Lloyd credit, but you also have to take, you also have to be honest in saying that Lloyd put himself in this position by giving Chip Kelly this kind of power to begin with, and despite the fact that Chip Kelly had done nothing to warrant this kind of power. And he was 10-6, basically. Yeah, 2 10-6 seasons, basically, with Andy Reid's players. Their roster right now is all over the place. They have a couple of decent players, but that is not a loaded roster right now. It's not. And the reputation, I think what got Kelly fired more than anything was his own, just could not get out of his own way. Wanted complete power. And you knew that wasn't going to happen. Like, you knew if Lloyd came to him and said, hey, I'm going to bring somebody in and make some personnel decisions. Once you got a taste of that power, you're not giving it up to Chip Kelly. It's too much pride. It's too much pride for Chip Kelly to give up that kind of power. And I think Lloyd was bothered, he may never admit this, bothered by the perception of race, of any kind of racism in regards to Chip Kelly. Not anybody called Chip Kelly racist, but just that perception that race could be involved in the picking and choosing of his players. I think that, I think 20 years from now, Lloyd comes out of the book. That could be a chapter in the book. That's going to be definitely one of the chapters in that book. And I think the perception, not only race, but the bottom line is, guy, like, around the league, players, all these guys, have the same agents, because they have the same functions, fraternize with each other, off the field during off season. I think that the perception amongst the players is that, I don't think players want to play for Chip Kelly, to be honest with you. I don't think players are in love with playing with Chip Kelly. Assistant talent is great. Bottom line is, when you get to the NFL, you got to have talent. It's not like college. You recruit 100 players. You have 100 players. And, star players don't mean as much at college level as they do in the NFL. The NFL, just within the salary cap, you got to load up on as many talented players as possible. You got to have depth. So I get rid of every players who may be outspoken but are talented. Character sounds great, but character with limited talent means nothing in the NFL, in any sport for that matter, especially in the NFL. But now Philly's in a tough spot. Not only with the coaches, they don't have a quarterback. DeMarco Murray is not a big deal to me. Running backs are a dime a dozen. You know that. And they're pretty good at the position anyway. But they don't have a quarterback and they don't have a coach. The two most important positions in all football. Coach, quarterback. Quarterback, coach. Whatever word you want to put it in. I feel like it's quarterback. Because a great quarterback will draw a high level. Can draw a high level coach. I'm a high level coach. I'm a quarterback. Oh my God, I don't have a quarterback. I don't have a quarterback, or a semblance of a franchise quarterback. Then I'm going to be like David Shaw and just stay in college. 347-215-6180 is your call number. When we return, we'll have NFL picks on a week 17 in the league where no contract is guaranteed. We'll be right back. Is your call number. Amazingly, a week 17 in the league where no contract is guaranteed. Three games and a lot of points. Game number one, New Orleans at Atlanta. Neither one of these teams, of course, are going to the playoffs. But 6 points is too much for an Atlanta team that has been inconsistent. And for a New Orleans team who we know still has the capability of lighting up the scoreboard, they took 38 on Carolina in the game. Don't tell me they took 38 on Carolina. They can't score against Atlanta. 6 points is too much. This would be a field goal type. This would be a field goal game. Could be even an overtime game. Atlanta coming off an emotional win versus Carolina is going to have a letdown. It's just natural that you get so high up to play that, you know, that Carolina, the undefeated Carolina team. And now you see New Orleans, and you can't tell me that you're not, you know, not so much looking ahead because it's the end of the season, but you know, just kind of take it a little bit easy. So I'll take Carolina. I'll take New Orleans with the points. I wouldn't be surprised if it's New Orleans outright won this game, but I'll just take the points. Tampa Bay, Carolina. Carolina, you know, 10.5 points. Again, that's a lot of points. Tampa Bay, you know, not getting the record like I show it, but Tampa Bay took a step this year in the right direction. They have a franchise quarterback. They have some individual talent at certain spots. You know, Gerald McCoy, Doug Martin, Mike Evans. So this is a team with talent. I think Philip Rivers will play a big game at Denver and keep San Diego within striking distance of Denver. Then we know struggles to score at times. I think Denver wins this game, but I will take San Diego in the points. This would be, again, I would not surprise me if this is a field goal game. I'll say, you know, 24-20, 21-17. I'll take Denver to win the game, but San Diego with the points. So three dogs. I'm picking three dogs: Atlanta, New Orleans, Tampa Bay, and San Diego for a week number 17 in the league with no contract guarantee. We'll be right back. Is your call number on this next edition of Trail Up in Sports Talk featuring Cyril Jerome Quinn. Happy New Year to everybody out there. Again, hope you enjoy any time you have away from the job. You got a chance to hang out, travel, spend some money, receive some money, hopefully. You know, I'm thinking about this with Christmas. You know, people put so much into one day. Put so much into one day, and it just comes and goes, and before you know it, it's January, and then, you know, it's a memory. So, it's amazing how this, you know, I know people are Christmas shop in July. Like, sure, I know people Christmas shop in the summertime. So, I was around some people, around some family members who were already talking about the Christmas tree for next year. Really, for next year. Like, hey, think about getting maybe in this color tree. Like, it's still Christmas. It's talking about Christmas tree for next year. It's amazing. It's amazing, the thought that goes into one day. A couple of NBA things of note. Keep your eyes on Bobby Portis. You're saying, who's Bobby Portis? Well, he's an impressive rookie who plays for the Chicago Bulls, who is getting some time with the injury to Joakim Noah. Now, the Bulls, as we know, have a long jam at that small forward, power forward, center spot. In particular, power forward and center. You have Noah, you have Portis, you have Gibson, and you have, of course, Pau Gasol. Gasol's been tremendous this year. Noah doesn't hardly play even when he has been healthy. His minutes have been reduced. So they're gonna move one of those guys. I don't think they'll move Gasol because they think in their mind they should move Gasol considering that he has the most value. But they think that they're contenders and they're not. But because of their record, so Gasol won't be moved during the trade deadline. That leaves Gibson and Noah. One of those guys is going to get moved. And, I think Noah still has some gas up in the tank. I really do. But I think he can help out a championship caliber team. But bottom line is, one of those guys is going to get moved. Portis, in limited play, he's only appeared in 11-12 games, averaging about nine points and five rebounds. He's going to be a very good player, very good player. So that's going to give him some flexibility to be able to deal with one of those front court people. Steph Curry is going to miss a couple games with his leg injury. Of course, he sustained it. Like, I want to say the Utah game, right before the Christmas Day game, when they played, I think, against Utah. So he sat out. He's already missed two games. Of course, Dallas destroyed Golden State earlier this week. They came back and beat Houston, as they always do. They had Denver tonight. So, watch that. Doesn't look like a serious injury. It's just one of those nagging things that I'm sure Golden State will be cautious of. Steve Kerr could return this weekend. Obviously, he's feeling better. And I think part of that, too, is kind of timing of Curry being out a little bit. I could speed this up maybe a couple of weeks in return to kind of settle things down a little bit and don't allow a sense of uneasiness because Curry's not there to filter that locker room. So I think that's part of Curry coming back this weekend as well, possibly. But again, that's possible. It's not definite that he is coming back over there, but there are reports that say Curry could return to the bench. Matt Barnes was suspended for two games for an incident that occurred off the court. Again, we all know we're having about a couple months back with Derek Fisher's and, his ex-wife, and he has kids by. We all know the story. We know what was reported. The part that I don't understand from the NBA standpoint is, why was he suspended? No charges were pressed by Derek Fisher. I don't even think the police were called that night. It wasn't a domestic situation where he tried to physically threaten the wife or the girl. If so, she didn't call the police to press charges. So basically, it's a fight, if you want to call it that, between, you know, two NBA guys off the court. Now, again, NFL has a personal conduct code. I don't know what the NBA's conduct code is. I don't. Outside, again, they have certain rules for for PEDs, drug use. I know that I get that part. Again, as a guy, he gets suspended. Again, I don't know the protocol for something like this. I don't think the NBA knows the protocol for something like this. Excuse me. You know, I think Jahlil Okafor thing is different from the standpoint of, you are fighting somebody in public and it's viral. And it happened multiple times. So I think that's different in terms of suspension. I don't think Matt Barnes should have got suspended. That's what I'm basically trying to say. Basically trying to say a nutshell. I just don't think he should have got suspended. It's something that was between two grown men that didn't result in any police or any major physical harm, like scratches and, a couple drops of blood. I don't think there was major harm done in that turnout situation with him and Derek Fisher. Is your call number. Because we began talking about the Bulls. The Bulls, so far, college football have been a disaster. The games have been awful. We've had maybe two or three competitive games. I think Wisconsin, USC has been the best game. Texas A&M, New NC State is okay. But for the most part, these games have been horrible. And we haven't learned anything that we did not know coming into the bowl season, that, hey, the SEC is still hands down the best conference. We knew that coming in, or if you didn't know that, then you just need your head examined. And that the Big 12 doesn't play defense. Like, we knew that, again, coming in, even at the Big 12, they don't play defense out there. They've gotten exposed to not playing defense on a number of occasions in this bowl season. But we knew that already. We knew that. Again, college football needs a real all-out playoff system. Four teams is not going to do it. Too much time in between games. Too much idle time for student-athletes. Look out to how many guys because of how many players have gotten sent home even before the games start. Whether it's Virginia Tech, Virginia Tech, Ohio State, excuse me, not Ohio State, Virginia Tech, TCU. How many guys did I get sent home? And you're like, hey, 3 weeks is too much. Too much idle time. They're basically, for the most part, no classes. You know, trust guys with curfews, 18, 19 years old. Good luck with that. National Championship, January 11th, Alabama, Clemson. Certainly we'll have a lot more about that as we draw closer, just about 9 days away from that. 9 days away from that. We'll certainly preview that, talk about that. Championship taking place in Arizona. That's going to wrap it up. This great edition of Trello and the Sports Talk featuring Cyril Joe Quinn. I will see you next time. Have a great weekend.